This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week.
Oh, I hope you had a good holiday season, depending on what religion you believe in. Now, Patricia Carter Robles, she's going to be talking today about time to focus our attention.
The Company of Heaven is reminding us that we are in the midst of a 40-day intensified assimilation of light that is more powerful than anything we have ever experienced. That means that every thought, feeling, word, and action we express is being amplified in ways we have not previously known. During the month of November, in order to remind us once again that we are co-creating our earthly experiences, we at Era of Peace were asked by the beings of light to replay vlogs 10, 11, 12, and 13 from our Bigger Picture series. These vlogs clearly describe how our thoughts, feelings, words, actions, memories, and beliefs have caused the good as well as the painful things we are witnessing and experiencing at this time. The vlogs also reveal what we can do to change the things we want to improve. If you have not signed up to receive our free weekly vlogs and monthly newsletter, you may do so on our website, eraofpeace.org. The vital information being given to humanity at this time by the Company of Heaven is an essential part of our ascension process. Please do not let this gift from on high to pass you by. Today, the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth are asking us to stretch our consciousness and to listen to the inner guidance of our I Am presence so that we will fully comprehend the magnitude of the awesome shift that has just occurred for Mother Earth and our entire system of worlds. This sacred knowledge will help each of us to realize that even in the face of the horrific adversity manifesting in the outer world, Mother Earth and all her life are moving forward in the light. That demonstrates the profound truth that the light of God and the heartfelt pleas of the masses of humanity invoking love, peace, compassion, healing, oneness, and reverence for all life are infinitely more powerful than the fear-based and fragmented behavior patterns and distortions of our fallen human egos. The 40-day intensified assimilation of light we are now experiencing began on November 11th, 2023, with a powerful activation of the 11 and 1111 and 111111 divinity codes in humanity's 12 fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA. The sacred geometry of the Master 11 reflects the transfiguration from the physical into the divine. November is an 11. November 11th is an 11-11. And November 11th, 2023 is an 11-11-11. 2023 equals the number 7. So 11 plus 11 plus 7 equals 29, which also then equals 11. Our 40-day intensified assimilation of light will be completed during the December 21st solstice. On November 11th, 2023, in the embrace of the fully opened 11-11-11 portal, Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her reached a critical mass of energy, vibration, and consciousness that allowed the masses of humanity to at long last align the axis of our individual fifth dimensional crystalline solar spines with the axis of Mother Earth, the axis of the suns beyond suns in Earth's lineage, and the axis of all of the celestial bodies in our galaxy. This alignment allowed us, for the very first time since our fall from grace, to align with and to be breathed into the full embrace of the system of worlds associated with our grand central sun, which pulsates beyond our galaxy. This alignment and this cosmic in-breath is something our sisters and brothers throughout the cosmos have been waiting for us to achieve since our human miscreations formed the oppressive veil of Maya. Eons ago, the weight of humanity's grossly mutated energy in the veil of Maya actually bent the axis of the Earth and caused Mother Earth and all her life to fall into the abyss of separation and duality, which tragically trapped us on the wheel of karma. During the past several decades, through the unified efforts of heaven and earth, the adverse effects of our fall from grace have been reversed step by step. Now, we are moving forward in the light at warp speed. The company of heaven revealed that the cosmic in-breath that breathed our galaxy through the 11-11-11 portal into the full embrace of our grand central sun in our system of worlds amounts to a quantum leap up the spiral of evolution beyond anything that has ever been attempted in any system of worlds. The beings of light have joyously affirmed that the success of this facet of Mother Earth's ascension process has exceeded the greatest expectations of heaven. Now, in the full embrace of our grand central sun, Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her are able to breathe through our prana and life force higher frequencies of the infinite light and patterns of perfection within the heart of our Father, Mother, God than we have been able to previously withstand at a cellular level. The gentle but intensified assimilation of the awesome light of our grand central sun is what we are experiencing during the 40 days and 40 nights leading up to the December 21st solstice. During that celestial event, this assimilation of light will be completed, and the incredible expansion of light from the system of our grand central sun will be permanently available to each and every one of us with every breath we take. To help us comprehend just what this means, we have been given a very simplified chart. I know it seems complicated, but our I Am Presence is fully aware of this information. The Company of Heaven has asked me to share these details with you because of the shift that has occurred within each of us. They said it will be beneficial if we know this on a more conscious level as we co-create the patterns of perfection for the new solar earth. The sacred geometry associated with our system of worlds involves the number 12 and the power of the 12 times 12. Our physical sun is responsible for 12 planets. The solar logos for our physical sun are Helios and Vesta. Our physical sun belongs to a central sun. The solar logos for our central sun are Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega are responsible for 12 physical suns, including Helios and Vesta. And each sun is responsible for 12 planets. Therefore, the central sun of Alpha and Omega consists of 12 physical suns and 144 planets. Our central sun, Alpha and Omega, belong to a great central sun. The solar logos for our great central sun are Eloah and Eloah. Eloah and Eloah consist of 12 systems exactly like Alpha and Omega. Eloah and Eloah consist of 12 central suns, 144 physical suns, and 1,728 planets. Our great central sun of Eloah and Eloah belong to a great, great central sun. The solar logos for our great, great central sun are El and Allah. El and Allah consist of 12 systems exactly like Eloah and Eloah. El and Allah consist of 12 great central suns, 144 central suns, 1,728 physical suns, and 20,736 planets. This system of worlds beyond our great, great central sun of El and Allah has been pulsating at a frequency of light that is beyond our reach. Our sisters and brothers in that highly advanced system have been waiting patiently for Mother Earth to catch up with the rest of our solar system after our fall from grace. Now that Mother Earth has ascended off of the wheel of karma, transmuted the veil of Maya, and aligned with the axis of all of the celestial bodies in our galaxy, We have at long last reached a frequency of vibration that enabled us to reclaim our rightful position in the system of El and Allah. With that glorious achievement, on November 11th, 2023, the entire system of our great-great central sun, El and Allah, were breathed through the portal of the 11-11-11 into the solar system of our grand central sun. Our great-great central sun, El and Allah, are now being held in the full embrace of our grand central sun. The solar logos for our grand central sun are Sanat and Luz. Sanat and Luz consist of 12 systems exactly like El and Allah. That means that Sanat and Luz consist of 12 great, great central suns, 144 great central suns, 1,728 central suns, 20,736 physical suns, and 248,832 planets. But our Father, Mother, God, and the company of heaven want us to fully comprehend during the remainder of the 40-day assimilation of light we are in the midst of, is that when this facet of our God, of our divine plan, is God victoriously completed, which will occur during the December 21st solstice, the infinite light and the full divine momentum of all of our sisters and brothers in the system of our grand central sun, Sanat and Luz, will be able to assist us in what will seem like miraculous ways during the remaining ascension process we have been preparing to co-create for myriad lifetimes. Interestingly, after the victory of this amazing shift into the full embrace of our grand central sun, on November 23rd, 2023, CNN reported that scientists have detected a cosmic ray that is almost as powerful as what they termed the Oh My God particle. Space scientists seeking to understand the enigmatic origins of powerful cosmic rays have detected an extremely rare, ultra-high energy particle that they believe traveled to Earth from beyond the Milky Way galaxy. It rivals the single most energetic cosmic ray ever observed, the Oh My God particle, which was detected in 1991. This recently discovered particle was named by scientist Amaterasu after the Shinto sun goddess in Japanese mythology. The number of electron volts in the Amaterasu particle is the number 244, followed by 18 zeros. By comparison, the typical energy of an electron in the polar aurora is only 40,000 electron volts, according to NASA. The source of these high energy particles is baffling scientists. They say the Amaterasu particle comes from a region that looks like a local empty space. It is a void where nothing is supposed to exist. Dear one, our Father, Mother, God, and the company of heaven are encouraging us to contemplate the magnitude of the shift that is now occurring within each of us, including the elemental kingdom and Mother Earth. During this critical facet of the divine plan, we need to carefully monitor what we are empowering with our thoughts, feelings, words, actions, memories, and beliefs. Dear one, God bless you.
Well, that seems appropriate. Only Time Will Tell from Mike Oldfield. And that's off an album called The Songs of the Distant Earth. Now, there was a full moon in Cancer on the 26th, and Pam Gregory is going to tell us all about it.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking to you about the second half of December and the full moon that we have coming up in Cancer, either on the 26th or 27th of December, depending on where in the world you live. In December, as many of you are feeling, and I'm certainly feeling, the energy has really shifted. It shifted, well, for me, the last week in November. That may be related to the blue light surges, and I know many of you are feeling that way. So we are now into the energy that we're going to be experiencing in a much bigger way in 2024. It's going to be fast. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be eventful. So let me begin with the detail of the astrology in the middle of the month before I go to the full moon in Cancer. On the 16th of the month, we have the sun trine to Eris, warrior sister of Mars, and the North Node, and also square to Neptune. And so this is really, I think, facilitating what I call a spiritual revolution, because Eris stands for truth, for justice, for freedom, for fairer societies. Eris is conjunct the North Node, has been all of this year, and is still operationally conjunct the North Node. So that is saying that our future path of soul's growth collectively is linked to that very strong stand for our sovereignty and for truth and for justice. But the sun being square to Neptune is bringing in that spiritual context. So I'd really see that aspect as representing a spiritual revolution for the highest good of all. And that's a really good phrase to keep in mind before I do any video or have any connection with people. I always set clear intention. This is for the highest good of all. And then it can only help whatever communication you're putting out. On the 18th of December, we have a beautiful trine between Mercury and Jupiter. This is going to be repeated again on the 19th of January, because Mercury just gone retrograde at the new moon in Sagittarius. So Mercury is at 6 of Capricorn and Jupiter is at 6 of Taurus. So this is about big, expansive future visions, you know, big thinking, where we're going to go, what are we planning for our future? So it's very beneficial. And it also suggests, because they're both in Earth signs, Capricorn and Taurus, that we're going to make these ideas practical. We're going to make them grounded. We're going to make them realistic and achievable. And they could well be linked to the financial system, because both Taurus and Capricorn are really linked to that. Also food production, agriculture, that kind of thing. So new ideas are coming forward. And that aspect, as I say, will repeat again on the 19th of January. Now, if you have any planets or aspects round about sort of 3 to 7 degrees of the fixed signs, because Jupiter is at 6 of Taurus, you will be sort of 3 to 7, I'd say 3 to 7 of the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. You may well be feeling this sense of expansion or personal growth or opportunity coming in for you. And remember, the house that Jupiter transits through in your birth chart for about a year usually expands, usually beneficially, the affairs of that house. It can bring success or recognition or opportunity. So then the 19th of the month, this is very close to the Capricorn solstice. And just before that, on the 19th, we have Mercury sesquiquadrate Uranus. This is a real call for truth and more rebellion coming out here. I mean, 2024 is a very big year, I think, of revolution and rebellion in a much bigger way than the last 3 years. And that is linked to more more truth coming out. And with Uranus, you always get this kind of urgency. It's almost an irritability. Come on, come on. You know, the truth is coming out and we are going to stand our ground in that. So that feeling is going to build more and more and more as we move into 2024. And even January is a very big month for that. So urgent that we speak our truth is how I think I would read that. And then on the 20th, we have Venus opposing Uranus. And this is at 19 degrees of Sagittarius and Taurus, respectively. And you may be feeling some intensity that could be manifesting in a relationship, intensity around any control or manipulation, perhaps, and wanting more freedom, more independence. That may apply to your relationships. This may come up in the larger world in terms of currency volatility, moves on the stock market, that kind of thing. Because Uranus, Venus aspect, hard aspects are very commonly linked to financial volatility, currency volatility. But this is happening the same day as Mars is in exact quincunx to Uranus. Hard aspects between Mars and Uranus are very linked to freedom, demands for freedom, individual freedom. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want limitations. I don't want constraints. I want to be me. I want to be independent. I want to be free to do my own thing. Very strong. And that's reinforced yet again, that rebellious kind of uppity, feisty behavior potentially is reinforced because the moon in Aries is exactly conjunct Eris in Aries on that day too. So we might really just before the solstice, we may feel that rebellious energy revving up. On the 22nd, as I say, 21st, 22nd, that's the solstice, depending on where in the world you live. Very positive, very expansive aspects coming in. If you can't think of a better mantra, I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love is a very good one to fall back on. So now and just before we get to the full moon on Christmas Day, if you celebrate Christmas Day, we've got a beautiful trine between Venus and Neptune at 25 of Scorpio Pisces, respectively. That's lovely. It's very romantic. It's sensitive. It's idealistic. It's also, you know, loves beauty as well, aesthetics, beauty. So that's a lovely aspect to have for Christmas Day. Now, this happens Pacific time on the 26th of December at 4:33 in the afternoon. It happens UK time the next day, 27th at 0:33, so just kind of 12:30. So a full moon is always where we have the sun and moon opposite each other. So sun 4:58 of Capricorn, moon at 4:58 of Cancer. And this is the third full moon in a row of six round, and this is only 2 minutes off 5 degrees of the signs. And so if you have any planets or aspects between kind of 4 and 6 degrees of a sign, almost doesn't matter what signs, because these six full moons are going to catch them one way or another, there could be quite a strong sense of completion going through these few months. As I say, we're kind of halfway through that series. The moon is very highlighted here because the moon rules Cancer. And Cancer is a beautiful sign for this time of year. It's very caring, it's nurturing, it's loving, it's sensitive, it's sympathetic and empathetic, wanting to kind of cozy down and be with loved ones, friends and family. And yes, there is a strong need to feel nurtured yourself, but also an instinctive understanding of what other people need to feel nurtured. It's very motherly energy, Cancer. It's really beautiful. So, and it's interesting, this opposition, because the moon represents our need for emotional security in Cancer, and the sun represents our need for economic, financial security. So certain aspects of that may be coming to light at this point. So see where this falls in your chart, 4 degrees of Cancer, and see if anything is coming to culmination, completion, closure for you, or it's shining a light on something that you weren't aware of before. Now, something that's very supportive at this full moon is a series of sextiles, which is quite interesting because we have, the computer hasn't picked it up here, but we have a sextile between the Sun and Saturn here at 2 of Pisces. We also have Saturn in another sextile here to Jupiter, and we have Jupiter in another sextile here to the Moon. So we have a beautiful kind of 3 sextiles happening, which are very supportive. Sextiles are aspects, 60-degree aspects of opportunity that may be coming up at this time. And, you know, particularly this aspect of Moon, Jupiter, Cancer, Taurus, this is beautiful for nurturing of all kinds, fertility. They're very supportive. It feels as if we really are hatching something for the future that is very positive and expansive. We have this other beautiful sextile between Jupiter and Saturn. And we see this in the charts. I see this in the charts of people sort of like economists who have this wonderful balance between expansion, growth, and caution, and cautious optimism as well. And so that's a very good kind of expansion caution aspect that's coming in. Don't rush too quickly. Think things through thoroughly before you take action. And very stabilizing, these sextiles, and also the Sun to Saturn here again is a very stabilizing aspect. So those feel very positive. We've also got the Sun in this beautiful trine to Jupiter, bringing this sense of the future, higher consciousness, expansion, visions. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in 2024. Now, the Saturn is also, and I think I mentioned this in the Capricorn solstice video, is conjunct one of the 4 royal stars of Persia called Fomalhaut, Fomalhaut. Fomalhaut is at 3 degrees of Pisces. Fixed stars only move a degree every 72 years, so they're really in that same position for a lifetime. Fomalhaut is not only one of the 4 royal stars of Persia, it's very linked to Archangel Gabriel. There's a beautiful aspect of protection here, also linked to being the spiritual teacher. So if you have any natal planets, I mean, I have my Moon, interestingly, at 2 degrees of Pisces. So it really is a signature of a spiritual teacher. So very interesting. Just to point out also that Jupiter at 5 degrees of Taurus is exactly at the degree where we had the lunar eclipse, 5 degrees of Taurus, on the 28th of October. So I don't know if you can look back to the 28th of October, the lunar eclipse, if anything was happening for you, see the house it was falling in, because you may get some clues there, or around your finances. Are you rearranging your finances in some way, you know, closing an episode in your finances, and now at this full moon, that is taking another step forwards in the rearrangement of your finances. It's like an echo of whatever was happening at the lunar eclipse on the 28th of October. So I think a lovely thing to do at this full moon in Cancer, also at the solstice, as we are about to enter 2024, and this goes way, way beyond New Year's resolutions, is to have an image, an image that you will aim for, a version of yourself, a higher version of yourself, that you are aiming to become by the end of 2024? Who are you aiming to become as a state of being, not just a list of New Year's resolutions? Who are you aiming to become as a state of being by the end of 2024? I know for me, anything I could have anticipated by the end of this year, I think has been far exceeded in kind of the way I feel I've grown and developed, and that's really accelerated in the last few weeks. And the same would be very, very true, I think, for next year and for you, each of you in 2024, because we're going to have so many quantum leaps next year. The aspects that I've just touched on of Venus, Uranus just about hold operational, and also Mars is just about still quincunx Uranus. So go back to what I've just said a few minutes ago about those aspects too. The North Node will stay in Aries all of 2024. And it won't shift back into Pisces until January 2025. So this really is a very strong, yet another signature that we have to become strong, resilient, more self-sufficient, more pioneering, more sure of our inner power, our inner selves, a real sense of, you know, autonomy, and I know who I am. And what's going to help that as well? Here we have Chiron being stationary. This S means it's stationary, changing direction. And as I've always said, whenever planets are changing direction one way or the other, they are magnified. Now, what's important about this is it's going to be exactly conjunct the North Node at a very, very big eclipse that we have in April, a total solar eclipse at 19 of Aries on the 8th of April. You know, I'll be talking 10 tons about that, and so will every other astrologer. So Chiron in Aries, Chiron in our birth charts is wherever we have the original wound, and everyone has it somewhere, because we are meant to turn that, whatever that wound is in our lives, into leadership in as we move through our lives. Now, people born between February 1969 and March 1977 will have Chiron in Aries. Aries, the keywords are I am, I exist, I am. So people who are born with Chiron in Aries have a wound around that I am-ness usually. You know, there's a question mark when they're very tiny of, do I have a right to exist? Either because of the family they were born into, or the society, or the culture, or whatever. And so that can bring about a victim consciousness, which I think is, you know, is very prevailing, really. And I'm going to come back to that later in the video. But what this station of Chiron offers us at this full moon in Cancer, which is so much about self-care as well, is, and it will again, will be given another very big opportunity at the total solar eclipse in April, 8th of April, is a collective healing around victim consciousness, a collective healing around victim consciousness. So that's big. That's big, because that can potentially shift the quantum wave structure and change our future. Pluto here, as it is at the Capricorn eclipse, is at 29 degrees of Capricorn. Now, remember, the last degree of a sign, 29 degrees of a sign, is known as the anoretic degree. And therefore, the more shadow side of that sign may express at this time. We are going to be having so many demands, I think, for truth, for freedom, for equality for justice moving into already, but moving into 2024, that the way this will manifest, and Pluto is going to be at that 29 degree anaretic point of Capricorn, not only here, but through January, September, October, and November next year, and then we'll not be in Capricorn again for around about 240 years, is there will be increasingly urgent and desperate attempts to keep the status quo, the Capricorn status quo of power over what we have all always known in terms of verticality and top-down structure. But it will feel increasingly hollow because of the rising Aquarian and Uranian that rules Aquarius energy. It will feel increasingly hollow and increasingly potentially desperate and therefore extreme. So be aware of that, because as we move into 2024, both sides will be heightened. The demand for freedom and truth will be heightened. The revolutionary aspect will be heightened. And so will this anaretic expression of 29 degrees of Capricorn, if you follow my meaning, which I'm sure you all do. The moon here is conjunct the dwarf planet Chaos at 1 degree of Cancer. And the myth of Chaos, as you may know, is that heaven was ripped from earth, but the ultimate purpose of Chaos, and here, remember, it's on the world axis, the first 2 degrees of any, well, zero of the cardinals represents the world axis, so 2 degrees either side of that, up to 2 degrees of the cardinals, back to 28 degrees of the mutables, is on the world axis. So dwarf planet Chaos here is on the world axis, i.e. thrown onto the public stage in some way. So the purpose of Chaos is to reunite heaven with earth. And I think that is absolutely where we are headed with our energy from now on. We are reuniting heaven with earth in so many ways that I've talked about. The sun is conjunct Ixion at 4 degrees of Capricorn, one of my absolute favorite dwarf planets. And I was talking about this with David Farrell at the Capricorn Solstice video. I'm going to again quote the words of Alan Clay, who runs the Dwarf Planet University. He's a fabulous teacher, and these are his words, and I love them for Ixion. But Ixion represents seeker consciousness. It develops, encourages us to develop our authenticity and follow our bliss. It's finding joy through simplicity. This is the wild child. Love it. This is independence of spirit. And the question that Ixion asks are the rules we are playing by, are the rules we are playing by the right ones? And that couldn't be a more fitting theme, I think, given all I've just said in this video, as we enter 2024. I don't think I could find almost a better theme to set up next year. I'm sure you follow my meaning here. Okay, so other things to point out at this full moon are that Mercury and Mars are tightly conjunct here. Mercury is actually on the galactic center, which is at 27 degrees of Sagittarius, and also conjunct the dwarf planet Varda, 26 degrees of Sagittarius. Neptune is in a long-term square, 25 of Pisces, all of next year to Varda and the galactic center. But Mercury being conjunct this point enables us to tap into this higher wisdom, this raw plasma crystalline energy with which we are creating our world. And of course, the whole myth of Varda from the creation myth was she with her husband Manwe. They were responsible, it is said in the creation myth, for creating our original cosmos. Varda was responsible for setting, placing the sun and moon and the stars in the sky and setting them on their way. So Mercury gives us a kind of channel, a direct, you know, a direct go-between. He's the messenger, Hermes, Mercury, to accessing some of that very high frequency energy and creating our new world, which is what we're doing right now, but within a spiritual context. Neptune. Mercury square Neptune in general is wonderfully, I don't regard squares as at all challenging, actually. They're just the grit in the oyster that produces the pearl. They're activators. This is beautiful for any creativity, creative writing, poetry, art, music. It's a creative inspiration. So wonderful time to do that as well. I would say with this Mercury Mars, this sharpens the mind. We may be becoming extremely enthusiastic and vocal about our future visions, what we are dreaming in for our new Earth. It can be a bit quick off the trigger because this is mutable fire as well. Mars energizing mutable fire. So it can be a little sometimes short-tempered, you know, speaks too quickly. So be very careful to take a breath. Be very careful on social media, I would say, with what you're writing and what you're responding to, because this can be also quite dogmatic and opinionated in Sagittarius as well. So just take a breath before you speak or before you write and react. It can be a little fast off the trigger. We also have Pluto in a kind of waning square to the nodal axis. The south node is, as you know, always opposite the north node, so it's at 21 of Libra. But this is waning now. We've had Pluto, as I've banged on all year, square to that nodal axis, really forcing us to choose between love or fear or victim or co-creator consciousness. And this 2023 was the big year of choice. I couldn't have said that more loudly, but we have now made our choices individually. Are we at the fear end or the love end? Are we at the victim or the co-creator end? We couldn't, you know, I couldn't have said it more clearly. We've made our choices. And so that is our setup also for 2024 going forwards. Something else just to point out, and I mentioned this in the Capricorn solstice video, is that Sedna, with an 11,400 year orbit, is at 2939 of Taurus in a tight trine to Pluto. And they are holding hands in this dance through 2024. Both have a big theme of transformation. Both have a big theme of surrendering, letting go as they move out of those earth signs of Capricorn and Taurus, letting go of what represented the old fashioned, the 3D security. And remember Sedna's myth that her fingers were chopped off by her father. She was trying to get back in the canoe in the storm and he chopped her fingers off and she died and floated down to the deep, transformed into beautiful sea creatures of whales and dolphins and turtles. So it was a complete metamorphosis for her. But it wasn't a great time as her father chopped off her fingers. So there's a big theme here about the betrayal of the patriarchy and letting go of those old systems, old world, old security. So that could also suggest some big financial moves, either in December or through 2024. Also, we've got Uranus in Taurus that suggests that too. I think as they move hand in hand into air signs, Pluto into Aquarius and Sedna into Gemini, they will be forming a grand air trine to the supergalactic center, which is at 2 degrees of Libra. I haven't put it in, it's at 2 degrees of Libra. And so that will be running all through 2024. That will bring up very big issues around AI, I feel, because Aquarius, which Pluto is moving into, ruled by Uranus, is very linked to technology and AI. Gemini is very linked, I think, to AI. Somebody sent me a link just yesterday that Google have developed some new technology called Gemini, bizarrely, that's linked to AI. So they've clearly anticipated this. So, but in a grand air trine to the supergalactic center, remember the galactic center is at 26, 27 of Sagittarius. The supergalactic center is at 2 degrees of Libra. The great attractor is at 14 degrees of Sagittarius. So just remember that because I always get questions about that. So this grand air trine all through 2024, I think very clearly one of the big themes will be what is our relationship to AI moving forwards? Because that will be coming in fast in all kinds of ways that we may barely be aware of. What is our relationship to AI? And what do we choose our relationship with AI to be, more importantly? So, and then as a final aspect, I can stop sharing my screen now. Right at the end of the month, December, we have Jupiter moving stationary direct, move stationary direct at 5 degrees 34 of Taurus. So a few days to either side of that. And again, if you have any planets in fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, between kind of 3 and 7 degrees of those fixed signs, you'll be feeling perhaps a big opportunity coming up or some sense of recognition or expansion of your business, depending on where it falls in your chart. But this can really launch us, I think, into 2024 with a sense of optimism, vision, hope, expansion. It's very interesting that the first second of January, Mercury also moves direct, and all planets will then be moving direct, apart from Uranus, which moves direct on the 27th of January. So there's this feel of warmth for out of the traps and a feeling of momentum, speed, lightness, and boy, it's go time, as it were, in many respects. So because it's going to be so fast, because it's going to be so eventful and dramatic next year, practice now developing that center, that anchor. I've said this many, many times. And you can do this with bare feet on the grass. You can do it with candle gazing. You can do it with closing your eyes, dropping into your breath, or imagine that you're breathing in and out through the heart. Such simple, free ways of doing this. But have a go-to way for you. That's your kind of default method that you know within seconds, you know, just warmth. Okay, I'm in my anchor and I feel grounded, especially when any difficult news comes at you. You know, warmth, that's, I'm not going to be knocked off my perch with that. I'm going to go into my butter melting in the sun, dropping into stillness, dropping into my breath. That is one of the best possible gifts and tools and skills you can have as we go into 2044. Actually, for everybody, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. And it's so simple and it's all for free. I've talked of lots of ways to do that. And I'll be talking more as we go through next year. But think simplicity. Think simplicity. Jupiter is still in Taurus until May, and then it really takes off in Gemini. Uranus is still in Taurus, but it's not really a stabilizing factor. It's a destabilizing factor in Taurus. Think simplicity. Think center. Think stillness. Think zero point. You have your own special, easy way, easy access within seconds. You can drop into that. Really recommend that because we are going to be moving in 2024. Just to say before I come back to my ramblings, a lot of people are asking me about alternative healing technologies, and I'm certainly not an expert. I don't endorse or have links or, you know, get commission on any of these things. All I can talk about is my own personal experience. So in terms of personal experience, I've had experience of the harmonic egg. I think it's a light chamber. Also, the tachyon chamber is a Palladian light chamber. The Itera care wand, and I will put the spelling of that underneath. It's like a long, skinny hairdryer. That is also light technology. PEMF devices, I think that stands for pulse electromagnetic frequency. I've had experience of all of those, personal experience. They've all been very beneficial. I can say that for sure. But you may have a different experience yourself. A lot of people are asking me about EE technology. I've had no personal experience of that at all, so I can't say, but they have certainly expanded to 370 centers across the world now. But each of you must use your discernment and really go by people you know and trust recommending it, or obviously try them yourselves and get your own personal experience. So I just want to come back to some thoughts about, you know, how this thing that dogs me, how we create our reality, because as I've mentioned before, I believe 100% it is absolutely the case that we create our individual reality by our individual frequency. And therefore, by logic, we therefore have to say that the collective consciousness is the collective reality, rather, the reality we all see out there in our 3D world is created by our collective consciousness. And this has only really landed for me in the last year or so, but if that is the case, generally we haven't fully realized our power as co-creators in creating that. And it's kind of completely unacceptable to us that we may have created some of the real horrors in the world through our anger, through our hate, our division, our polarity, our fear, that we have created what's going on in the world. That's very uncomfortable. And I know I may even get people who are angry about this, you know, who can't accept that. But if we follow the logic of the physics through, that must be the case. And therefore, we may not in the past have thought that we were powerful enough to do that or fully realize that that is the result of our collective consciousness. And this is a bit akin to, and I know other people have talked about this analogy of, if you see, you're looking in the mirror and you see a frown, you can't change the frown by going into the mirror. You have to change the frown by smiling. It has to come from you to change the mirror, to change the reflection back to you, to change the reality that you're seeing. I think that's quite a, and it's not an original analogy, but it's quite an accurate one. And so what we do, therefore, is unknowingly, unconsciously up to now, and I've only kind of clocked it in the last year, if we are all by our collective frequency creating what's happening in the world, then because we haven't been conscious of it, we blame it. We think it's an objective coming at us reality, and we blame it for giving us a hard time. So can you see the kind of madness of that loop? I hope I'm being clear here. So I think what we have to do to remedy that is, one, recognize that we are incredibly powerful co-creators, and just start in really simple ways. Always set your intentions in the present tense. You know, I'm easily finding a car parking space. That's simple. Start from there and work up. And, you know, on my morning walks in horrific weather in the UK at the moment, I have a rolling mantra of some kind. I'm already stepping onto my highest timeline, that kind of thing. I'm experiencing more joy in my life already. And just watch in little ways, the shifts in the dynamics in relationship, how those mantras, those intentions that you are expressing, you have to set it in present tense. Otherwise, if it's future, you'll keep on pushing it away, start to manifest in your life. Just start from really basic stuff. So recognize that we are powerful co-creators. B, be mindful and observe, do it as an experiment, a game in your life. What are you creating? Observe that connection between your frequency, your intentions, your what you're broadcasting 24/7 and seeing what's playing back in your life, particularly if there are any shifts in the dynamics of relationships. And recognize that we have to go beyond this hamster wheel that we've lived in for thousands and thousands of years and lifetimes of, you know, death, poverty, misery, war, victim, you know, people writing to me at the moment about the war in the Middle East, and a few months ago they were writing to me about the other war further east, and months before that, I can't remember. It just goes on and on and on. Look over here, look over here. We have to break. In order for us to be the trailblazers and the cycle breakers, we have to recognize that the source is our frequency. We are the source, and I don't mean that in any grandiose way. I mean in a very simple way that we are each the source of our own frequency. We have to be. So recognize that because consciousness is primary, everything comes from consciousness, everything comes from frequency. That's where we make the change. That's where we make the shift to create a different reality out there. I hope I'm being clear and making sense here. So, and remember what that wonderful Buddhist author, he's Tibetan Buddhist and also very deeply enmeshed in quantum physics, Paul Levy, says. He says that the choice of where we put our attention is not only an act of creation in itself, it is a superhero power. He calls it a superhero power, being aware of where we are putting our focus and our attention in any moment. It's a superhero power. And I think Dr. Joe Dispenza would also agree with that. That isn't for today. I hope that's helped you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, a millionfold, for all you've given me this year in terms of love, of care, of good wishes, of support, of likes and shares, and all of those things you do, although I never ask for those, but I'm deeply, deeply grateful. And we really are in those, particularly in those 15-minute meditations on a Sunday evening at 7 o'clock UK time, we are building such a momentum of energy, of this real quantum wave of love that we are building, and it gets stronger every week. So recognize the more widespread that is, you know, we really are creating a love revolution, as Dr. Jude Caravan so rightly says. God bless. Have a wonderful festive season, and I'll be back very soon, undoubtedly, with more videos. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, as this is the last transmission for this year, we're going to get Lee Harris to talk the rising tide of consciousness.
Lovers of the world, you are free. You are free to go about your day with love as your purpose and your focus. We understand that many of you may not see it that way, for the dark clouds in the world can feel all-consuming, all-enveloping. They can seem anti-love. And of course, there is that faction, there is that contingent. But love is the highest octave on the planet. Love is deeply connected to peace, harmony, and oneness. So for many of you, the experience of feeling love inside yourself, inside your humanity, inside your soul, is the highest point that many will reach. So it can feel like a peak for you. However, the more you practice the octave of love, the more the finer tuned layers of peace, joy, wisdom start to reveal themselves to you. It is no different to your eyes adjusting to the light. When you first walk into a darkened space, you see immediately the most obvious shapes, things to navigate in the space. But as your eyes begin to open and adjust, Your senses increase around this seemingly dark space that you were in moments ago. It is the same with layers of love. And many of you are lovers of the world in the way you wish to care for the world, repair the world. When you see ills taking place in the world, it can strip some of you to your core. It can knock you off your feet. It can take your breath away. This is a phase of the process. We are not in any way saying that any of you should wish to become immune to compassion. That is not what we are saying. But many of you are rising into becoming warriors of love on the planet, for the planet, and with the planetary energies of love. So some of you may be listening to us thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I'm actually here because I'm struggling in my marriage, or I feel like I don't have enough freedom in my life. It's all a lot more down to earth for me right now. And we say, no, it is not. Ha. Your point of focus might be that it's all a lot more down to earth for you, but you cannot be separate from universal energy on the earth. You have just been trained to think you are separate from it. But in fact, universal forces are driving your everyday actions right now. So even for those of you who think that where your focus is right now is perhaps needing to be, if you are feeling judgmental, you could say more mundane than your spiritual life. You could say more limited than your spiritual life. And we will say, wherever your focus is, that is where your spirit is going. So wherever you allow yourself to focus in your life, that is where your spirit and your soul are allowed to show up. So if you are focusing on news that is distressing you from a friend or a loved one, or perhaps from out there in the world, and you keep replaying and re-engaging with this distressing news over and over again, your soul and your spirit are going to start to respond to your focus on stress and distress. Sometimes your soul and your spirit will try and get your attention away from focusing on this. If it is not good for you, meaning you are not using that focus to simply release some stress and distress, but instead you are essentially boxing yourself into a certain way of thinking and feeling, which is easily done for humans, by the way. You mustn't be hard on yourself about that. It's woven into your society. You have all been told that the room that you are in is 50 times smaller than it truly is. None of you are living in the small, focused lives you actually think you are. You are vast. And you have layers of reality that you are interacting with elsewhere that feed into your life on Earth. And yet, your life on Earth is very important. Your human life, your human focus, it is not to be denied or pulled away from. But why we bring this up to you is we want you to understand the power of your focus on a daily basis. Because you are entering a time in your history where there is a competition for your focus on Earth. There is the light, there is consciousness, there is love. There are those humans and other beings who are radiating those energies onto the planet. And then there are those who would like you to keep thinking that not only is the room 50 times smaller than it truly is, they'd like you to get into a room that's 100 times smaller. And that won't and can't come to pass, but there will be almighty attempts at it, particularly in the next year or two. And that's okay. You need not worry about what we just said. Notice if that starts worrying you. If it's worrying you, there is an imprint in your body from times past. There is an imprint in your body of what happens when others may try to suppress or hijack you or stop you. That is why we had to address this at the beginning of the message that Lee read out to you. It is not our joy to speak to you about wounds, because even that word has a lower vibration for many of you and a lower connotation. But If we don't address it and start there, you will never let your light body in, because you will be so convinced as these wounds rise that you will think you aren't bringing your light body on board. You will think you are regressing. You will think you are playing out old behaviors. And we say, no, no, no. As you let more of your light body in, you have to burn off the old habits and identities that were born of a previous time where you believed that you and your life are far smaller than you really are. So if the idea of you being a vast being, a vast soul, is pleasing to you, if you right now are feeling a little bit of that vastness coming back, why? Because we are seeing you. When the soul is seen, it feels good. Now, for some, it can feel triggering or suspicious or something you want to defend against, because you have done a wonderful job of keeping your soul organized inside your body and inside your human patterns and your human identity so that you don't bother too many other humans. Because guess what? At a young age, you learned that there is a cost to bothering other humans. You can be punished. You can be ostracized. You can be rejected. So the modification began and you stuffed down parts of yourself. Well, for some of you, you are entering a period in your life like never before. For some of you, you are taking the lid off who you are in a way that even you don't recognize. Even if you have been what you might call a spiritual seeker or student for a decade or more, even you are shocked at what you're experiencing right now. And guess what? That is the rising tide of consciousness. Even you are surprised at how certain things are dropping off you. Layers, sheets of identity are leaving you. You might be surprised at how willing you are for this to happen, because it's happening at a speed and with a precision that you never saw coming in such an easy way. But equally, there are parts of you that will rise and want to fight what is happening. And they are the parts that you sometimes think, ah, this is me regressing. And we say, no, no, no. This is you evolving and trying to figure out which bags of sand to throw out of the hot air balloon. Because that hot air balloon is not going to keep rising if you keep the same weight in the basket. And there is a time when rising is appropriate, and there is a time when it isn't. So we also want to clean up some belief that some of you might have that higher is better, rising is best. No, everything in balance and everything in its right time. But there is a rising tide of consciousness, particularly at this end of 2023, which if you are watching this video in the future and you are resonating with what we are saying, you will be in a part of that wave in the future. But right now on Earth, many of you are beginning to leap inside yourselves. Some of you are managing to do this because you have spent the last year or two or three going through some, we will say, challenging times. Slowly and deliberately excavating parts of yourself, excavating old behaviors, old patterns. But here you are, throwing sandbags out of the hot air balloon with joy and marveling at not just the view, but the feeling of being in this light body above the ground. So there is a time to rise, and then there is a time to what you might call integrate or ground. We would say a time for stillness. And many of you have been surfing rises lately. You have been going through big leaps in yourself, in your circumstances. Some of you are just about ready to invite those in, to allow in new levels of light, new levels of height. Because you have spent a long time leveling the foundation of the old house, leveling what was there. And now you can build. But as a general rule, we would like to introduce a principle to all of you for the next 2 to 3 years. Look for balance. If you have felt low or suppressed or down or challenged for a long time, put all of your focus toward bringing in light, peace, joy, uplift. If you have been what you might term high for a while, or particularly elevated for a while, put your focus on the ground and earthing this frequency. Both states can be addictive. You can become addicted to lower vibrations and you can become addicted to higher vibrations. But the trick is allowing both to move through your body, which in turn sets in motion inside your body a healing spiral, where you can go up and down and round the spiral inside yourself. For some of you, as you have gone through these leaps, rises lately, it has been a little challenging with the people in your life. Hard to, for some of you, get so grounded on the level that they are at that you can communicate with them. Equally, some of you who've been on a lower level lately and not feeling so good, it's been hard for you to connect with your higher people, those who seem to be flowing. And we would say, challenge that belief too. If balance needs to be a focus of yours in the coming 2 to 3 years, a focus we have given all of you, because the energies will be pumping fast. So the way that you will stay most stable is to pay attention to the pump and notice where you are in that scale and counterbalance where possible. By all means, have a wonderful week where you're flying high, but don't try and push it into week 2 and 3 without realizing that the balloon is going to have to come down and hit the ground at some point. And then you can go back up again. The same is true of your perception of your friends or loved ones who can or can't be there for you when you are in the opposite state. Are you one who isolates when you are feeling down or stuck? Time to break that habit. Who is the most trusted friend or person in your life that you could triumphasize the great discomfort of reaching out when normally you wouldn't? You can even be deeply honest and say, I'm calling you because I'm having a bit of a rough time and normally my approach to this would be to stay silent until I feel better again. So thank you for listening. I'm challenging my comfort zone and I just had an instinct you would be someone I could call and express this to. Even doing that will be 50% of the battle. 50% of the healing will be done there. Equally, if you are flying high, don't be scared to reach out to those people who you think might slow your flow. They won't. This is a time for humanity to share.
Them for our generation. Will it ever happen? Hopefully. Let's, at this time of the year when we're all supposed to be friends, think about all those people who are suffering in other parts of the world.
I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.